Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." I'd like to ask us a question tonight on what's happening now. What's happening now? We look around and we see things, and I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of stuff that I don't understand. There's a whole lot of stuff that I don't comprehend, and a whole lot of stuff that I can't figure out. But as I was looking, I see what God's doing, I see how He's doing it, and I see what God wants to do. And when I look at the big picture of things, and I see the scheme of things, and the way God loves us and He cares for us, I know He does because He said so. And God has given us the information to make informed decisions. And God has given us the intellect that we might know Him along the way. Amen. Praise God. So if we look at the thought and we think about what's happening now, we see that the theme is kind of the same as it's always been. We have man, we have humanity, and we have God. God has always been God, and God has never changed. But the sad part is man has always been man, and man don't change either. Amen? Even though that we know God, we know who He is, we still tend to go off on our own little tangents and do our own thing. And I was thinking about this, I was looking at this, and I've been studying on this for a while. And I got to thinking on that, and we look at this, and I hadn't thought about it until one of the old rabbis was talking about it the other day. And he was talking about what's taking place in the world today, especially what's taking place in the little nation of Israel. And they're talking about this group by the name of Hamas. And he was saying that Hamas is not a new thing. He said, we act like it's something new, that's something that hasn't ever been there before, but he said, Hamas has always been. Amen? And he got talking about it, and I got to looking at it, and he said that Hamas is mentioned over 60 times in the Word of God. And I got to looking at a digging and a scratching to see if I could find it, and you know what? He's right. Just today, digging and looking in the Word of God, I found it over 45 times that the name of Hamas is mentioned in the Word of God. Amen? That the name Hamas, you say, well, preacher, I've never seen it. It's there. The name, if you look at the Word of God, the Bible says the earth was corrupt. Well, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. There it is. That word in the Hebrew is Hamas. Amen? It literally is the word of Hamas. It's spelled C-H-A-M-O-S. Amen? In the Hebrew. It's pronounced Hamas. Hamas. Just like we pronounce it. Amen? Now you say, well, who is Hamas? Let me just tell you who Hamas isn't. Who Hamas, they're not just a name. It's not just a name. It's not just a people. Amen? And if you look up that word Hamas, if you look at that word violence, where it uses here in the Word of God, at least 45 times I was able to find today, and they say it's over 60 times, you'll find the definition for Hamas is this. It literally means violence. It means quarreling, quarrelsome. It means thieving. It means sexual perversion, the highest order. It means idolatry. It means the spilling of blood. It means to be oppressors. It means to be literally unrighteous persons. Amen? So we see how it plays out. We know who Hamas is. And now we can't paint a different picture of them than what the Bible says they are. Amen? And we see that today. So it's not a name. It's not a people. You know what it is? I got to really think and digging on it. Then every word I found, it's not a name, it's not people, it's an attitude. Yeah. Amen. Not only is it an attitude, it's a state of mind that will not be allowed to be changed. Amen. They're going into darkness, and we see it. They're going with darkness. And He said, and God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt. for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. In other words, he said, praise God, they're going away from God. And what they're doing is they're trying to get a hold of our people, like we already talked before we had prayer tonight, and they're trying to drag our people, our young people especially, down into the pit with them. They're trying to destroy our nation and our homes and our families. What's happening right now is Hamas violence is taking over the whole world. And if we ain't careful, we get away from God, we get away from the Word of God, and we forget that. It's a sad state of affairs when we begin to take down the things that were mementos of what's happened in the past. Because when we forget the past, you know what tends to happen? We tend to repeat ourselves. And it's a lot of times it's in a bad aspect. Amen. It's not going in the right direction. And God said that that man had, praise God, it said it was, he looked and the earth was corrupt, and it corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Now listen at it. He said it's filled with violence. He said it's filled up with Hamas. Amen? It's filled up with Hamas. It's everywhere. It's taking over. God said, I've had enough of it. Amen? Praise God. He said through violence, he said with violence through them. Who? The violators. Amen? Those ones are as consumed by the violence. Those ones that's caught up in the quarreling and the thieving and the sexual immorality and the idolatry and the spilling of blood and the oppressors of men. Amen? Praise the Lord. And just total unrighteousness for God. But this all goes back further, praise God. We can go back and we can dig in it. We can look and we can see what God's talking about. He said, it all follows in a doctrine. Amen. The Bible is full of doctrines. That's biblical instruction. That's truth, praise God, that God gives us from the front to the back. Amen. That'll help our hearts if we'll let it. We see this and we see prophecy of this taking place. These things. Take your Bible tonight and look at Joel chapter number 3. Joel chapter number 3, it says this. Amen. What's going to take place to God when God says, I've had enough. Amen. What's happening now? I believe we're about to the point, Brother Jeff, that God says, I've had enough. Amen. He said, I've about had enough of these violent oppressors. I've about had enough of these perverts and these defilers of men. He said, I've about had enough. In Joel chapter number 3, verse number 19, the Bible says this. He said, Egypt shall be a desolation. Edom shall be desolate, a desolate wilderness. For the violence or the Hamas against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. You know why? Because God says this. He said, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. God said, I'm going to give them a blood transfusion. Praise God. Through the blood of the Lamb of God forevermore. He said, I'm going to come in. He said, I'm going to cleanse the land. I'm going to make Edom desolate. He said, I'm going to make those oppressors pay for what they've done. Praise God. I'm going to set a line, praise the Lord, and I'm going to hold that line. Amen. Those violent oppressors. Those Hamas, praise God, that's there in the land. Amen. Prophecy is prophesied by Joel the prophet. Amen. Not only there, but look at Zechariah chapter number 12. Going back just a few books to the minor prophet of Zechariah chapter number 12. He says this in verse number 1. He said, the burden of the word of God for Israel. Saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Amen. That there is the great creator God. Praise the Lord. He said, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. When they shall be seized both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth, watch this, be gathered together against it. Amen. Can you imagine a little old place like that, just like a spot in the road, and the whole world is against it? You know why it's against it? Because they stand with God. Because they stand for godliness. They stand, pray God, for principles. They stand for their people, their families, and they stand for their nation. Amen. He said, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. He said, and the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Amen. Praise God. He said they would rise up, praise God, and they'd begin to recognize Jehovah God. They'd begin to realize that their power, their strength, praise God, in order to stand their standing, praise God, was in the strength, not of themselves, praise God, but in the strength of an almighty God. When we get back to the point in America where we realize it's not about us and not about our strength as a military, supremacist, something supreme in our military, superior in our military, but praise God, the only reason we are what we are is because of the grace of God. Amen. The only reason we are what we are is because of the grace of God. Bless His holy name. And then He goes in and He goes on, praise God, and says in verse number 6, He said, in that day will I make the government of Judah like the hearth of fire among the wood. And like a torch of a fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Amen. They think they can burn them out. They think they can push them out. They think they can push them into the sea. I got a new thought for you. God Almighty said He's going to be their strength. He said they're going to rise up as one. Praise God. I want to say that, praise God, one may not be much, but one person with God Almighty is an army and a force to be reckoned with. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how one person could make a difference. One person, praise God, but God Almighty, like that story I told you a while ago with the man and the gun didn't work. Amen, praise God. God took it. God made it work. God put fixed the sights on it. God sighted it in, and God done what needed to be done. Praise the Lord. That's what happens. Amen. He said, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them that at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angels of the Lord before them. Amen. Praise God. See, something's going to happen. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Amen. I pray God, I'm telling you, we better back God. We better back Jerusalem. We better stand with God's people because God Almighty one day, He said, I'm going to come against and destroy everybody that stands against Israel. Amen. Because if we do, we stand against God. Now, I know this ain't popular preaching today. People don't want you to hear it. We don't want to, you know, say that we're going to take a side this way or that way. I want to say, praise God, as the people of God, we have to stand on what God says. And God said that we stand with Israel. And if we stand with Israel, we stand with God. Amen. Amen. God takes care of the rest, praise God. He does that that's necessary for His glory. He goes on in prophecy in Isaiah and Zechariah chapter number 14. In Zechariah chapter number 14, the Bible says this. Verse number 1, it said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now watch this. He said, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem in battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and Haifa the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. Praise the Lord. And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and height of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and height of it toward the south. Amen. He said, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azel. Praise God, that's a separating place, a place of safety. He said, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about a great deliverance is coming. Praise the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half them toward the former sea, and half to them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And not just, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. I'm telling you what the end of this is going to be. Hamas may rise up. Violence may rise up. A disarray may come. Praise God, people may be taken captive. People may be brutalized. But there's a God Almighty that's come on the scene. And he's going to take care of business. Amen. Zechariah 14 verse 16. He said, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. That's what we've been talking about. It's going to be a requirement one of these days. He said, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and some that come not, and have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, if they won't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, even though they already down to Egypt, they already, praise God, atop of the world, they don't have no rain, they're already in a drought, praise God, a need for the things God, praise God, not only will they be in that drought, he said, also the pestilence, the plagues, even the plagues of Egypt will come upon them. I think I'm just going to go with God, ain't you? Praise the Lord. He said, this shall be the punishment of Egypt. Now watch this. That'll be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And God says he's coming today. He's going to lay this thing out. He's going to fix it up the way he wants to. Praise God. So we see the thing. We see who they are. Hamas, a bunch of violent persecutors, prosecutors, oppressors, praise God, an unrighteous people before God. And we see how they come up, and it's prophesied how God would catch them in disarray, and he would deal with them in his time. Praise the Lord. And we see this, I was talking about a minute, about the doctrine that we have. If you'll look back in the Bible, talks about it, the descendants of Abraham, and he talks about the Amalekites. He talks about those Amalekites, and we see the Amalekites all the way, the doctrine of Amalek, all the way through the Bible. Amen. We can see that doctrine playing out. It's always been for the total destruction of the nation of Israel. The Amalekites always wanted to destroy the nation of Israel. Now you know Amalek was a descendant of Abraham. He was the grandson of Esau. He was the son of Eliphaz through his concubine Timnah. Praise God, you can see that in Genesis chapter 36. I believe about verse 12. Praise God, how it come into play. But when we see the Amalekites, every step of the way, they were continually harassing, and they were continually trying to do harm to the nation of Israel. Amen. Right out of the gate. Amen. And Amalekites is always a type of the flesh. Amen. We see them right out of the gate, even when they come up out of Egypt at the very beginning. Amen. We see them begin to be plagued. Praise God. And God calls them, he called for separation from them. Look over at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 1. I know I'm running all over the place tonight, but that's all right. I got a short time to do a whole lot. I want you to see this. Amen. He said, when the Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 1. He said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, even seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Amen. There it is. God said, hey, listen, say that you can't show no mercy. Amen. Got to remember, God called, praise God, for a separation. And why does he do that? He said, neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and they shall that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Amen. He says, so that's why we can't have a, we've got to have a separation, praise God. Because this is what's going to happen. He said, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So we see God had had a plan and he had a purpose, praise God. And he said, this is what you're going to have to do. He said, if you're going to have victory in the land, praise God, if you're going to have victory for your homes and your families, he said, you got to get out. You got to get the wickedness out of there. You got to stay away from the things of this world, praise God, so they don't draw you in. Amen. So we see how the Bible lays this thing out here, and it tells us what God's plan is for his people. He goes on in verse number 12. He promises them victory, praise God, if they'll listen to him. He says, wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercies which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of the land, thy corn and the wine and thine oil and the increase of the kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now watch this. He said, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from you thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt of which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Amen. You see what God promised? He said, praise God, if you'll trust with God, if you'll stay with God, you'll do what I tell you. He said, you won't even get sick. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods. For that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart that these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hiding themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, but lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under the heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. Amen. Praise God. You see, God said, I make you a promise. He said, if you'll go with me, you serve me, you'll walk with me. If you'll stay with me, I'll take care of business. I'll put you in a land. I'll help you take care of the people and the problems in that land. And I'll give you prayer. I'll give you a promise of victory. I'll put victory, praise God, in your hand so that you can perform that needs to be done. God said, I will destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Amen. Praise God. God's going to destroy the enemy. God's going to destroy, praise God, the wickedness of this world. And when he says, I've had enough, praise God. Amen. And we see how this plays out. And then I mentioned the Amalekites. The Amalekites has always been a thorn in the flesh. Always. They was the first ones that attacked Israel when they come out of Egypt. Amen. Look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. Amen. You know this story well. He said, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose at us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Amen. Praise God. That represents that power of an almighty God. Moses said to Joshua, you choose out you some men. He said, and you get ready to fight. Amen. Praise God. If they want to fight, we'll give it to them. He said, I'm going to go up on tomorrow. I'm going to stand up on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Praise God. And so said, so Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought them out with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Praise God. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur standing up on his, stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have a war with Amalek from generation to generation. He said, listen, and he said, it's going to be a fight, but as long as the rod of God's up, and as long as the children of God will help hold the man of God's arms up, and God, the man of God will hold the rod of God's arm, power up, they'll continue to win, they'll continue to beat and defeat Amalek, top of the flesh in this world. He said, if we'll just stand up, praise God for what's right, if we'll stand up for what's truth, in the world we live in today, we shall have victory. Victory, victory. Victory is ours today in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll just realize it and claim it, praise God. Just go ahead just like we've already won the battle. Amen. Because we have. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We see how this thing plays out. Amen. And then in Deuteronomy chapter number 25, they're going into the land. They've done been warned about a bunch of these sorry rascals. Amalek, praise God, a type of Hamas, amen, violent, wicked people. And God, they're going to land, they're preparing to go into land. And God gives them the regulations. He lays it out for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17, he says, hey, and by the way, don't forget the Amalekites. Amen, praise God. Don't forget the Amalekites. Amen. What they're capable of. Deuteronomy chapter 25 verse 17 said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. Amen. He said, you remember what they did when we was coming up out of Egypt? He said, don't forget that, praise God, to keep that in your mind. Amen. What they did when you was coming up out of Egypt, how they come and they hit your rear reward, praise God, and they begin to try to destroy you. He said, please don't forget that. It was Amalek. It was a type of the flesh. He said, it'll hit you from behind. It'll hit you when you're weak. It'll hit those that's straggling behind. Praise God. That's why we need to stay grouped together. That's why we need to stay part of a unit, a part of a group, trusting in the Lord, going in the same direction He's going. Ask Him to help us and prosper us on our way. And those that are weaker, praise God, those that are with infirmities in the back, we need to help about them and bring them on with the group as we go. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can all get there together one day. Amen. Amalek, praise God. The flesh and the lust thereof. But the rod of God, praise God, would defeat Amalek. Amen. What's happening now? The rod of an almighty God is defeating Amalek, praise God. Amen. And then they go on, when Saul become king, amen, and Samuel's there, and Samuel gives up Saul some instructions. Amen. Remember what Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you remember what instructions Samuel gave to Saul? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 1. And Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now watch this. Look what he says do. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, or ox and sheep and camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them and tell him 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. Amen. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Canaanites, go ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you show kindness unto all the children of Israel when they come up out of Egypt. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havil under thou comest ashore, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Amen. So Samuel tells Saul, he said, hey, listen, so don't you remember what the Amalekites did when you come up out of Egypt. So don't forget, praise God, to remember, praise God. Don't forget to remember the awful wickedness of the violence, the Hamas of the Amalekites. How they come upon you, praise God. How wicked and violent they was. Amen. How they come upon you, praise God. And he said, I want you to utterly destroy them. But the Bible says they did. But they took Agag alive. Amen. Agag. Do you remember, does that ring a bell? Agag. He was a descendant, praise God, that would come from he would have a descendant that would come out of him that would be the Agagites. Remember Agagites? You remember the book of Esther? You remember a man that was Agagite, his name was Nahum? Almost 500 years after then, that one of the descendants of seed of Agag, he would come up out of there, and one more time violence would rise up, praise God, and out of his seed would come the Agagites, would become a man named Naaman, and he would come up and rise up under the kingdom of Ahasuerus, and he would say, hey, listen, what we need to do, we need to annihilate the Jews from Persia. Amen. The violence. Hamas, it's been there, praise God. It's in there. It's rooted and grounded in the flesh. And God says you've got to go in and you've got to root it out. You've got to completely get rid of it. You've got to destroy it. Amen. We can't allow the violence, the Hamas of the flesh to hold us back. We have to utterly destroy it. That's what God says. He gives us examples of it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just don't understand that. What, that they wanted to wipe out the Jews, the descendants? Amen. He goes on here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Of course, Saul has got an excuse. He done what most people do in a situation like this. He blamed it on somebody else. Amen. Because Samuel kind of rose up early in the morning, met Saul in the morning. Early wrote, met Saul in the morning, verse number 12. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up him a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Amen. He was proud of himself. Amen. He was proud of himself. What he done in his flesh, he thought was good. Amen. Listen, Samuel came, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and lowing of oxen which I hear? Amen. He said, I shouldn't hear no bleating. Amen. I shouldn't hear no oxen. I shouldn't hear no cattle. He said, utterly destroy them to the ground. Save nothing alive. Amen. No part of the flesh can be preserved. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Amen. The people did that. Lord, they wanted to bring, they kept the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. It's just for sacrifice. It's for you, Lord. Amen. God wants us to listen. And then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. But now watch this. Verse 18. Note, mark this diligently. He said, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. He said, you go and you fight against sin, and you fight with sin until sin is consumed, until sin is completely consumed. You keep fighting. Amen. Can't let sin live. Because if sin lives, it'll just continue to go on. Amen. They kept Agag alive. And somewhere along the line, Agag had a son. And that son rose up, and 500 years later, Agagite, amen, Naaman rose up and wanted to destroy the nation of Israel from the kingdom of Persia. Amen. It'll continue on. Samuel says, praise God, you didn't do what God told you to do. He said, you didn't destroy sin. He said, you allowed sin to live. Amen. But listen what happens. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Verse 31. You know the story. Saul begged him to do that. Amen. And he said, then said Samuel, verse 32, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Do you know what that is? That's confidence in the flesh. Amen? That's confidence in the flesh. He rose up, surely the bitterness of death is past. Surely you forgot about the men and the women and the babies I cut out of their bellies. Surely that ain't still a problem. Amen. And the Bible said, and Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Amen. He took the sword and he chopped Agag to pieces. He chopped sin, praise God. He chopped sin into little bitty pieces till there was no pieces left. Amen. No sin was left. Praise God in that wicked peoples. He said they were sinners. God said, we got to get rid of sin. Amen. They're sinners exceedingly, praise God. What does it mean? It means there was no repentance in them. There's no place for repentance. Remember Esau, they're descendants from Esau. And in Esau, praise God, he found no place for repentance. He forsook his birthright. He said, I don't need that stuff. He said, all I need is for my flesh right now, a bowl of that pottage. What's my birthright? What's my spiritual need got to do with this, praise God? All I need is something to satisfy my flesh. Amen. Edom, the Amalekites, the Edomites, all descendants. Amen. Praise God. And sinners exceeding. And God says, when you get to them, said, just chop them to pieces and totally get rid of them. You got to get rid of sin. Oh, I know we like to keep little sins. Amen. What's happening now? We've allowed too much little sin in our life because there's no such thing as a little sin. Little sin grows in, little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the next thing you know, we got a whole lump. Praise God, a whole thing full of sin, a whole life full of sin. Amen. What's happening now? It's what's happening in the world today. Amen. We got to call sin, sin. Amen. We got to call sin, sin. Praise God. A young man I was talking to today, I said, sin is sin. And you can't compromise with sin. Because if you compromise with sin, you're compromising with the devil. And you're compromising the Lord. And we can't do that. Amen.